I would like to read three scriptures, actually, in the Word of God. And the first is found in the book of Amos. It's in the Old Testament. One of the minor prophets, they call him. And his name is Amos. It's toward, really, the end of the Old Testament. And it's the book of Amos. And it's for an expression that I want to use here. Amos 4 and verse 12. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Turn to the New Testament, please, to the book of Peter, and it's 1 Peter on chapter 3. And verse number 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now, the last book in our Bible, Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. I better read the two verses, only it's only an expression I want. Revelation 20, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. That's all we'll read. I have to admit tonight that I'm guilty of saying much, and sometimes when you analyze it all, there's so little in it. But when God speaks in His Word, He can say so little. And that's packed with so much. What I want to take out tonight, very simply, is three expressions. Two or five words, and one three words. The one in the book of Amos I want to pick out off the text. Just five words tonight, and I hope they'll be etched in every mind. For every one of us, we have to meet God. It's the expression, prepare to meet thy God. I just want to look at that. The second expression will be this. It's the expression, the just for the unjust. Five words. And the last little expression I want to pick out in Revelation 20 is stand before God. I hope you get a hold of that. One has to do with preparation. The second one has to do with substitution. And the third has to do with confrontation.
Yes, to be.
You see, friend, that's what life is all about. We're only here as a stopping place on the way through to an exit that leads to eternity. And my friend, we're all going to meet God. It's very clear. And I was amazed at this when I looked at the book of Amos. You could read all the chapters. And maybe you couldn't get much out of the whole chapters, but you could write across the whole book. Summed up in capsule form, the great weight of the preacher's message in five words, prepare to meet thy God. And when I take the man in 1 Peter chapter 3, he's a fisherman. Not a theological, intellectual giant or genius. He's just a fisherman. God saved him. He had come to Christ, and Christ had filled his heart. And my friend, he sums up the great truth of substitution in five words. The just for the unjust. Christ for the sinner. Very simple. And then I think of another old prophet. He was a fisherman too. And he gives the great prophetic book of the Revelation. But friend, he sums up the awful, solemn, stark, searching reality of the final of humankind who die without Christ.
Stand before God. Contemplation.
I'm just thinking right now, there's a lady now, I don't know whether they've given her the lethal injection or not. I don't know, but I've been reading it. In your newspapers here in Vancouver, and I'm kind of impressed. She's waiting on the final verdict. Maybe it's passed. It's supposed to be passed today. I haven't heard the news. And what they're waiting on to see if she can get a reprieve or to see if she can get her sentence from the death sentence to life imprisonment for murder. And I just tried to capture in my mind, there's a woman. And if it's going to be execution today, she hasn't too long. The clock is ticking away. The moments are ticking down. The sand glass is almost out. And I thought to myself, I'm going to preach to a number of people here tonight, and possibly you don't think that your sand glass is going down quickly. And probably you think you've time enough yet. And probably you're always thinking, somehow, I intend to be in heaven. Who wouldn't? And I intend to get things right with God. And I intend to be on that golden street. And I intend to sing the song of redemption. And I never intend to be in hell. And all the time what you're doing is procrastinating, putting off, someday, somewhere, somehow, I will make it to heaven. Friend, that's fatalism. You'll never make it. On that score, you have to get down to business. Now's the time to prepare. You know, if you had a look at the background of the book of Amos, you'd find God had sent various things. The death, the devastation, and the awful destruction that happened in deaths. To try to awaken and alert and alarm them. Look, God wants you to return. He wants to bless you. His arms are outstretched. And in chapter 5 he said, seek ye me, and ye shall be found of me. In other words, God wants to bless. God's a blessing God. But friend, it's in your side where the barriers go up. And you say, look, I intend, mister, to get saved. And I intend somehow or other to get it settled. Most people that talk that way, I say it solemnly, I love to say it with tears, the land in hell. It's people that make up their mind, I want this settled now. They get God's salvation. I don't know what happened to that woman. She has made a confession of faith in Christ and probably could be saved. And if the execution takes place today, it's just from a prison to the glory. But friend, if she's not saved, the solemn, stark reality, we're almost speechless. Eternity without Christ. Lost forever. Right? The prophet says here, prepare to meet thy God. Preparation is needed, friend. You know tonight. There's no use me trying to muddle this message. You know tonight that you wouldn't think of going to the school tomorrow without your books or without preparation of some kind. And I would never think of going to the airport if I wasn't going somewhere. And when I go to the airport, I like to go prepared. I have to have my ticket. I remember speaking to a lady one time near to where I lived. I come home about 9 o'clock one night and passed her door and something made me go back. You know, sometimes you get those little experiences. I wish I had more of them, but I got that one that night and I turned and went back. And the old gentleman's there, 85 years of age, Mr. Wynett Russell. And he said, Mr. Hall, he said, call me Albert. He said, Albert, what brought you here tonight? Well, I said, I just was impressed to turn my car. I was on the way home. And I thought, well, I'll call and see how Russell's doing. And there was his niece sitting there at the table. He said, you know, I've been trying to point my niece to Christ. She's just come from the States, United States of America. And she's going to stay with me the rest of my life and care for me. I said, she seems to be so muddled and dark, she doesn't understand. Maybe you could help her. I remember looking across at Nellie. He said, Nellie, one question. You're just in from the United States? You've just come into Canada? I said, did they ask you for a passport? Oh, she said, yes. I said, let me see it. And she put her hand in. Picture, stamp. She says, I couldn't get in without it. Well, I said, you know something? I've got a passport. It's not a little book that I pull out, but I've got a passport for heaven. And that passport is the value of the precious, redeeming, emancipating, justifying, cleansing blood of Christ. And I said, you'll never make it, Nellie, until you have a passport that will take you to heaven, not of your own works, not of your own scheming or planning. You need Christ as your Savior. And a little time I prayed with her, and of course, left her. Mr. Bingham and I were having the meetings there. Little hall packed every night, and we were preaching the gospel. One night, Nellie got out, she got me by the hand. In fact, the two hands, she says, Mr. Hull, she says, I've got the passport tonight. I said, you have? I said, what is it? She said, Minister Bingham was preaching on John 3:16. She said, that whosoever become very personal, it was Nellie. That if Nellie believeth in him, shall never perish, but have everlasting life. My friend tonight, have you got a passport to heaven? I don't mean have you got a little religion or a baptism in water or coming up to the front or signing a card or something of man's efforts. But you've got a reality. As a poor lost sinner, you're prepared for heaven and glory, and you've trusted alone in the merits. The death of Christ. On the light. You know, standing in the old boat that day, going out from Ireland, 1963, the Crown Prophecy. My dear wife we're just married on the 3rd of July. We left on the 10th, right in Canada, on the 17th. But I was standing there, trembling as a boy of 26, with my young bride by my side. I remember I thought we were going to get out nicely without any, you know, we'd done all the handshaking and all the crying and all the embracing, and my father standing there not safe, can't look up, his tears flowing down his face, broken. And just when I thought everything's nice, now we're heading up. My brother put his hands to his mouth and he said it up, Albert, preach the gospel! Yeah! And there's about 1,000 at the quayside. 500 were to see me off. I don't know what the rest were doing, but at least there was a band there saying goodbye to this poor fellow here that God had saved by his sovereign majesty from the day of God. I remember getting and looking over that audience, and I couldn't help but say, well, John 3:16 goes good anyway. And I quoted John 3:16, and just as I quoted that, I got a little help from God, and here a verse of Horatius Bonar just filled my soul with joy. Upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, upon another's life and death. My friend, that's the passport. That's plus nothing. People try to add to it and bring their own feelings and emotions and things into it. No, friend, preparation is necessary. And when Amos is preaching this word of preparation, what he has in the background is this. Repentance. Acknowledge you're wrong. Tell God you come in absolute honesty and an acknowledgement, Lord, we have sinned. That's my friend when Jehovah would have received them back. You know, tonight in the meeting, you will never, never, never appreciate my second text. Until you take this to your heart, I need to acknowledge myself. I need to acknowledge I am wrong. Robert knows the woman I'm going to speak of right now. I have been across in this particular assembly for a week's ministry meetings on the Hoover Roof. And this lady was sitting night after night after the meeting for a cup of tea, and we had a little conversation together, her son and his wife, and this dear lady. She was about 75 years of age. And during the conversation, I happened to say to her, "When did you get saved?" "Oh, you want to see a change of expression?" I never forget it. She said, "That's wrong." She says, "No one ever asked me that in my life. And you just read the thing." She said, "I'm shocked." And I said, "I'm not shocked. I'll tell you all the truth. Because I was helping." I told her, "All I could say was just..." She was absolutely dumbfounded. And I remember going home from that series of ministry meetings. We were coming back inside a month or 6 weeks of gospel meetings. I took an idea of what his name was. "Man, that's great, that moment. I believe that moment." I hope this is for someone tonight, isn't it? Because you know what I believe why you're not saved? Because you're depending on the background. Brought up under the environment, wonderful. Know the Bible, wonderful. Know the verses, wonderful. But friend, as dark as can be as to salvation. And I never forget when I went to the meetings with our brother Williams. We had 6 weeks there. The first week she never appeared. I was very disappointed. I really was. I was looking for her every night. And I said to her son, I said, "Where's your mama?" "Oh," she said, "she's got a bad sore leg." And I thought that sore leg, something strange about it. But anyway, she's got a sore leg. I said to him, "Well, you tell her. I am looking for her. I really miss her." Never forget the night she came out. And she come right up to the front. Second. I think it was a bit of a second meeting. She's sitting crying. 75 years. Broken. Bent. I never forget going up and sitting beside her. I said, "What's your problem? What you said to me? Hey, Mr. Harvey, can you talk to me in spirit of what you're doing with me?" "Well, I'll tell you that." She said, "I am 75 years in the room today. Religious, you said, I have a radio program that I do. I want to wish you." And she said, "No one ever told me that I was a sinner. And no one ever told me that unless I was really born again, I would never make it to heaven." And she said, "I'm appreciating what you say is absolutely from the book." She said, "Can you really help me?" I said, "Look, I can't save you. But I pray with you and I'm weak with you." And I did that enough to my heart. I got a call in the morning, never forget it. These are the calls you like, they're $1 million calls. And I never forget it there. She said, "Mr. Hull, could you come for lunch?" I said, "Well, I'd love to, but we're out for lunch." "But she said, could you come for a cup of coffee at 10 o'clock? I said, "Absolutely, yes." She said, "I've something to tell you." "Well, she's a medical lady." She said, "Absolutely." Never forget it. Walked into that little place on the table with spread 3 cups of coffee. And really took it to go to the Christian coffee. It was cold anyway when we did, wasn't it? He started to trap and sit in the right day. Because I went home last night, I couldn't sleep. Talked the night there. I got out at 4 o'clock in the morning, get my knees in the bed as it goes wrong. I'm a sinner, I'm lost. I need to be saved. I don't know how to get saved. She said, "I opened my Bible at random at Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 6, and she said it was like a thunderbolt from heaven
We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. She said, Mr. Holmes said, I just felt so small and so sinful. She said, I wonder, would God ever forgive me or cleanse me from my sins? And in the desperation, she said, Lord, I can't save myself. She said, I plucked the page, I think, and I got in the first floor. The blood of Jesus Christ is strong. Cleanses us from all sins. I tell you, friend, I never forget it as we sat there and thought, oh, the value of the word of Christ. Oh, the blessing of a soul that will acknowledge, yes, I'm wrong. I'm going to prepare. I repent. I take God at His word. What I am, God says I am a sinner, and I just am a sinner. I am lost, so I am lost. I am guilty. God says that I am guilty. I am ungodly. God says that I bow to it. I don't have any reserve. I don't have any arguments. My mouth is closed.
It's a mortal life. 100%. Maybe there's a soul that got in the meeting and said, well, look, I do know I'm lost. And I do, this is what's my struggle. I have a message for you tonight from God. Look, please pick these words up. Bible. The just as Christ, the just one. For us, the unjust ones. It's telling me, my friend, Christ also at once suffered for sins. That's the perimeter. That's the widest expansion of it. He has made a full provision. He suffered for sins. But my friend, when I get to that expression, the just for the unjust, that's the very heart of the gospel. When I can enter into that blessed, glorious, wondrous, unparalleled truth. He took my judgment. He bore my sins as if I was the only sinner in the world. And the fisherman's writing it so clearly, with all simplicity, and yet all the profoundness of it. We'll never fully grasp the immensity of the great truth, friend. We'll revel in it eternally. I merely say it tonight again. Oh, the roadside 41 years ago. Then truly I trusted in Jesus. And oh, what a joy came to me. My heart was filled with His praises for saving a sinner like me. Oh, friend, tonight in the meeting, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. David Craig used to tell us what so clearly and so dramatically at times. But that dear woman there in the borders of Russia, and the decree from the Russian government was anyone found smuggling from the adjacent country or any country around would be accosted and arrested, and in the open yard with the type of the hand and 10 strikes in their back. The young man that was the superior that had been given the responsibility to see the orders carried out, one day coming into his office, there were two guards, and they had a woman with a shawl around her. She'd been caught smuggling. To that young superior's amazement, he stopped and he said, oh my God, it's my own mother. But what did the Russian authorities say? 10 strikes. Look at that woman. Lashed her hands for the whipping post. The executioner skillfully threw the whip. And they come down on a quivering back. And the woman groaned at the first stroke. And the superior was standing there, her own son, he was just shot. Oh, how? He says, how? Stop! That's my mother's shot. He took off his jacket, well built.
of his death, and he said to the guards, "Hang me." He walked over, put his hands into their eyes, and upon his back, he felt under the stroke of the lash. And he stared at him. That dear woman looked with absolute amazement. Tears coursing down her face, she took one run. She threw her two arms around her son. She says, "Oh, my son, thanks for taking my son. I'm going back 41 years ago, near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy for me." There I saw her friends step into Albert Hall. I didn't have to bear one stroke. It was wounded for our
bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we are saved. My friend, tonight, I threw the substitutionary work of Christ in my place. Condemned. He stood. Now, I don't think I'll die. I might. I don't know. I could die tomorrow, but I don't feel I'm feeling healthy enough, I think. But I'm looking for the Lord to come. But if I have to die,
I've let the arrangements be here for the last. I know who's going to speak in the funeral. If there are lots.
But I'll tell you what I've done. I choose a hymn.
And the hymn that I once sung, if I have to go that way, "Man of Sorrows."
Because you know the verse I love?
"Bearing shame, sorrow,
in my place, condemned peacefully, sealed my pardon with his blood." Hallelujah!
Bless you. My friend, tonight in the meeting.
That sums up what we have in substitution in those five words: the just one, Christ the righteous one, the holy one, the true one, the sinless one. For us, the unjust, the ungodly ones, the lost ones, the guilty ones, the sinners. I hope tonight some soul will grasp before this meeting closes, I was a guilty sinner. But Jesus died for me. I'm going to leave the last one. The time is up. I just want to leave those two with you. Preparation. Prepare to meet thy God. Because Revelation 20 tells us of folk that stand unprepared. 1 Peter chapter 3, substitute. The way I can know my sins forgiven and be made right with God in best time for glory and have a pastor. The great truth of resting on that blessed, glorious truth. The Son of God loved it and gave himself.